have, I don't think, anybody on the calendar next hour, Matt.
Oh, wow, that's good.
So we'll do. We'll start our look back next hour. How about that?
Oh, sounds good. You know, Justin, I choose not to look back. I look forward.
Yeah, but
I appreciate
this
that.
Time of year. It's so fun to look
right.
back.
Right.
It's what I. You know, it's like. I don't know how you want to. What the analogy
fun?
Would be. It's sort of like a squirrel that fills his. Little tree up with nuts, and you've got the whole winter to enjoy it, my friend.
You're going really existential.
The hay's in the barn.
Look at you.
We're enjoying the hay now.
You're just working cliches now.
Well, that's all I got
110% over there.
I don't even think that's possible.
No.
I've never gone 110%.
No. Can you do that?
I don't know.
Is it really possible? See, I think mathematically you can't.
Let's. We'll talk about the CSPN thing in a second as well.
Right. I want to get into that because I do think if there was a great piece that was done.
Or we'll do it right now.
Okay, good point.
No, go.
No.
I got nothing else. Go ahead.
Okay.
I have an email.
There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and it's been a couple of years ago, that roughly around within about a 14-month period surrounding the calendar year 1980, three major cable networks were launched that established a way of life in America, ESPN, MTV, and CNN. And the idea was, which one has had the biggest impact on American culture? Politics, business, pop culture, sports, whatever it may be.
Which what period?
One, within about a 14-month period on either side of the calendar year 1980.
Oh, okay.
So you had ESPN, CNN, and
MTV
all launched at about the same time.
MTV?
Which one has had the most? See, I would contend.
I would contend MTV out of the gate, and I would contend over time it's been ESPN.
Well, globally, CNN obviously had because it established a global news network and news had been kind of regionalized up to that point.
But my thing is, here's the deal. To this day, ESPN is still somewhat unique. I realize there's Fox Sports Channel and this guy and this guy, but ESPN still has somewhat of a generalized monopoly, and I think it's somewhat the same case for MTV because nobody's bothered to try to echo what they've done.
Although you've got all these other cable networks that do have they are in the pop culture space. You are right in saying that ESPN started, it became a dominant force in sports, and it has held on to that monopoly for 25 years.
Yeah, the point is nobody's modeled it effectively like CNN has been modeled effectively by a couple other networks.
And MTV.
MTV sort of made itself irrelevant by taking music videos off and putting on a bunch of other crap.
Well, it became a lifestyle network. But ESPN has held that space captive for so long, and then they have influenced the face of collegiate athletics. If there is no ESPN, there's still about 10 bowls that exist in America, and we've got about 15 athletic conferences. But because of ESPN, because they have such a dominant role on the sports landscape at both the collegiate and professional level, they then began, I mean, why do we have all these bowls? Because they can be televised.
Right.
Because there's cheap programming to put on the air.
Matt, how long is this Letterman clip?
1 minute.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, that makes it easy then.
But now that space has been invaded by Space Invaders with the NBC Sports Network, with Fox getting into it very effectively. So,
and Fox, they say this is the launch of Fox's rival sports network, which, I mean, I already consider you got the regional Fox deal, and I guess they're doing it on a grander scale here. I'm not really familiar with what exactly is the plan. But
well, it was a smart move because they start the regional nets to chip away at the ESPN number. And then so it's sort of, you know, you kind of a couple of body blows, and then now they're starting to work to the head.
I'll be curious. I like that analogy. We'll see if they have any effectiveness with that. The bottom line is ESPN's ratings have gone down 32% over the last year. And, you know, again, we'll see what the long-term impact of that is. Now, my thing is, too, if you've got some sort of gigantic, ridiculous number and you go down, like we've been in a position with numbers that are so otherworldly that even half of that is still better than anybody else has been close to. So it's unbelievable.
You know,
so we've been able to kind of have that same sort of situation here. But
I wonder if the online, you know, now they're available in so many other forms. I wonder if that
ESPN3.
Well, yeah, also, but you can watch on your tablet, on your phone.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, ESPN3, live game coverage.
The evolution of how sports are delivered.
So it, you know,
and it's not measured. It's how often are people sampling ESPN's product over digital, because it's not going to show up in the
YouTube
Nielsen's.
It. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. I do think, too, that ESPN underestimated the value of their stars. I think they thought, well, we'll just put anybody on the air, and people are going to tune in. And so they have been notorious for mistreating their on-air talent. And that's why you see guys like Dan Patrick having success. He was a brand, and they let him go. They basically let him go, and now he's part of the reason that their ratings are falling.
But he's the exception, not the rule, I think, because most of their people are interchangeable. I don't think most of them would matter, but he's one of the guys that did. Dan Patrick was such a valuable – he could have been – I mean, they look at Boomer as the guy, and he's kind of their guy. But to me, Dan Patrick was on par with him. There are a lot of – I mean, you can't tell me Lindsey Zarniak is Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that Kevin Negondi, as good as he is not Dan Patrick. Some of those guys don't have – what Dan Patrick has, but he could do ESPN Radio. He could do ESPN Sports Center. He could host on location. I mean, to me, he runs the gamut. I mean, Chris Fowler's a similar guy, and they've been able to hold on to him and sort of package him with the college stuff.
And I think with their experience with Patrick and with Keith Olbermann, and, you know, look, no one disagrees more with Keith Olbermann on a political level than I do, but the guy is a great sports guy.
No doubt.
And when they had the two of them together, it became a dominant appointment television thing to watch those guys. They expanded it. They let them go. And I think they learned their lesson with doing that, which is why they hold on to Fowler and Herb Street and why they keep the mummified body of Lee Corso propped up. It's why they, you know what I mean? We got to keep these guys together. And that's proven well for them on College Game Day.
I don't even have the energy to make fun of Lee Corso at this point. I just wonder how much longer they'll keep him around. But let's wrap this hour with this. We've got the Letterman poking fun at ESPN with the top 10 lowest rated shows on ESPN. And boy, they have jumped the shark with a few of these.
Here's lowest rated programs. We called over there and said, give us a list of your lowest. Here's the list of ESPN. Number 10, Mike and Mike in the Shower. Number 9, 2.5 Mets. Number 8, Everybody Loves Talc. Number 7, 100 Greatest Grass Stains of 1972. Number 6, Meet the Puck. Number 5, World Series of Shuffling. I'd watch that. I'd watch that every day. Something very soothing about the sound, shuffling of cards.
I've always enjoyed it.
And number 4, How I Met Your Equipment Manager. Number 3, Monday Night T-Ball. Number 2, Ass Slap Roundup. And the number 1 lowest rated program on ESPN, the Joe Theismann Prostate Report.
My prostate was giving me fits.
That's right. There you go.
Those commercials are uncomfortable, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
We are Middleton Heat and Air. We hope you will stick around. Coming up, we're going to continue our look back at some of the great moments from the first half of our show for 2013. You missed some good stuff yesterday, Bill.
I did. Well, what did I miss?
Talked to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the Mike Price apology was so good. Or Mike Rice apology, rather, was so good. Mike Price apology, not nearly as good.
Not nearly as good, Roll Tide. It's a rolling, baby.
Bill's also going to explain how the country should best use the budget surplus that apparently is in the surplus.
This is Greg with the-